as we see in this very quote, that the states are the laboratories of democracy, and then my state, Arizona, is clearly the meth lab of democracy.
Wow. Hello and welcome to the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. For Friday, the second day of October 2020. And I hope you and yours are well. That you are safe, that you are healthy. And that everything is going just marvy for you. Interesting development overnight. If you haven't heard it by now, then that means you just woke up and the first thing you're doing is listening to this podcast. If that's the case, I encourage you to go to the store and buy a life, because, I mean, seriously, people. But overnight, the president tweeted that he and Melania have tested positive for COVID-19. And it's all over the news today. And the coronavirus has infected the first couple. He tweeted tonight, FLOTUS and I tested positive for COVID-19. We will begin our quarantine and recovery process immediately. We'll get through this together. The news came after the president confirmed earlier yesterday his longtime aide Hope Hicks had tested positive for the virus. He tweeted, Hope Hicks, who's been working so hard without even taking a small break, has just tested positive for COVID-19. And the president and the first lady indicated that they will go into quarantine. Sean Connolly, the president's physician, released a memorandum about the first family, saying, this evening I received information that both President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have tested positive for the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The president and the first lady are both well at this time, and they plan to remain at home within the White House during their convalescence. The White House medical team and I will maintain a vigilant watch, and I appreciate the support provided by some of our country's greatest medical professionals and institutions. Rest assured, I expect the president to continue carrying out his duties without disruption while recovering, and I'll keep you updated on any future developments. According to USA Today, the White House released an updated public schedule for the president early Friday, in which his public events had been canceled, including a planned rally in Florida. The first lady also tweeted about her diagnosis, saying, we're feeling good, and I have postponed all upcoming engagements. Please be sure you are staying safe, and we will all get to through this together. And there is more, of course, and this will keep developing today. But the big, what is the best way to put this? The big non-story is that the president and the first lady, who are exposed to so many people all the time, have finally caught the coronavirus. And they are the president is in the age group. Well, he's over 70. And so that begs the question, how is this going to impact him? And oddly enough, the folks over at Just Facts Daily posted a quiz just today, just this morning. And the question of the day, based on the CDC's current best estimate, what portion of people who catch COVID-19 and are aged 70 and above survive from it? That question, once again, based on the CDC's current best estimate, what portion of people who catch COVID-19 and are aged 70 and above survive from it? Your choices are about 75%, about 85%, or about 95%. The correct answer is about 95%. So the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people 70 and above who catch the coronavirus, they get the COVID-19, the vast majority of them survive. The vast majority. And so I don't think we have anything to fear as far as the president and the first lady catching the coronavirus. I don't think there's anything to worry about. They're under the best care in the nation. They They have access to all manner of things. They will most likely and probably already have started on hydroxychloroquine along with the associated therapies that go along with it. And hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin, that's it. And they will be taking that particular little cocktail, and they will be just fine. So even in spite of this, pray for the first couple. I mean, they need your prayer support. They always do. And I would suggest to you that today, especially today, if you would like to maintain your sanity and keep your blood pressure low, that you not read anything below any article about the president and the first lady catching the Rona. I just wouldn't, because all it's going to do is make you angry. It's just going to piss you off. That's all it's going to do, because people are already being, I guess the best way to put it, unkind. People are already saying things like, well, then he should drink some bleach. And all that does is show you the stupidity of the people who would say anything like that. Because the president never encouraged anybody to drink bleach. The president never encouraged anybody to inject bleach. The president never encouraged anything like that seriously. He never did. Of course, anything the president says, any words coming out of his mouth, which can possibly be taken to mean anything wrong, will be, that's what's going to happen. The debate the other night is an example where he was answering Chris Wallace, who was debating him along with Joe Biden, about denouncing white supremacy and the Proud Boys and things like that. And he said, stand down and stand by, instead of just saying, I denounce these people. He's denounced these people so many times. I posted yesterday a video of something like 20 different times that he's done so. And that's just some of them. There's 19, 20, something like that. A lot of times that he has actually denounced white supremacy. He's actually declared that the KKK is a terrorist organization. He's been very plain about this, and not just while he's been president. He's been plain about it way before he became president. And the press is still pounding on him for that. And they're in part using his statement the other night, which was sort of an in the moment, off the cuff, just, he was saying something just because he had to say something. And they're accusing him of being a white supremacist. They're accusing him of being all the things that they've accused him of before. They accused him of all this stuff leading up to the election in 2016. They were lying about it then. They're lying about it now. But they take what he says out of context. They twist his meaning, and they portray him as being evil, when it's actually them who are reading into his statements. They're projecting. So who's actually evil here? Yeah, you got that one right. It's the leftists, the progressives, the left-wing press. That is the source of evil. And when the president says the progressive press, or the leftist liberal press, is the enemy of the people, he's absolutely right. Because they're lying to and manipulating the emotions of the people for political gain. And anytime you manipulate other people, you're not the good guy. You really aren't. So now, the president and the first lady have been tested positive. Hope Hicks, it was announced yesterday, tested positive. She's showing symptoms. She's feeling sick. The first couple so far is not. But as I said, they're going to get the best care possible, and they're going to be fine. And over 95% of the people over the age of 70 who catch it survive it. So there's really nothing to fear. And when you think about it that way, what is it, 99.8% of people who catch it on the whole survive it? It's something like that. 99.8, 99.85. It depends on which sources you look at. But when almost everyone who catches it gets through it just fine, it's really not that huge of an issue. But it's been made a huge issue by the left, because the left wants to use this to frighten people, because if they can frighten people, they can manipulate them. That's a long-held tactic of the left, using fear to motivate people to give them more power. Oh my gosh, this is going to kill millions of people. Please come and rescue us. Which is exactly what they want the people to do. And when you realize that, you understand why people like Joe Biden point at the president and say things like, he has failed. He didn't protect the people. Well, it's not the president's job to protect the people. Not in that sense. It's your governor's job to do that. It's your city's mayor's job to do that. The best fight against the coronavirus is not a national mandate for anything. The best fight against the coronavirus is federalism. It's empowering the state and local governments to do what's necessary to deal with the problem. And we're watching that happen across the country. In fact, at the very beginning, we were watching that happen at the federal level, where they were saying, you jump on this, get a handle on it. And of course, the progressives were all wringing their hands and saying, why aren't you doing anything? And he was saying, tell me what you need. You need respirators? Well, dang it, we'll round those puppies up and send them to you. And he did. You need an emergency backup? Tell you what, we've got a couple of hospital ships. We'll dispatch those. And he did. You need field hospitals to treat the sick? No problem. We'll mobilize and get it done. And he did. They didn't use the mobile hospitals. They didn't use the ships. They didn't need the respirators. Why? Because those inept leftist, left-wing, red state governors, or blue state governors, those progressive governors, didn't know what they had. I'm thinking about New York, and you know I am. And some of them dropped the ball so badly that they sent infected people into facilities with the most vulnerable people. Andrew Cuomo of New York City. Andrew Cuomo of New York State. And now he's denying he did it. The internet's forever, though. It's there. The record is clear. His hands are bloody from the deaths of those thousands of senior citizens because he screwed up. But now he's saying it never happened. That is a very typical progressive move, to deny reality. It makes me wonder how long the people of New York will tolerate such an incompetent governor and an incompetent mayor in New York City. But they will. They will. Just remember, 95% of people in the president's age group survive. Almost 100% of people in the nation across the board who get it survive. The numbers they're talking about to scare you are the exceptions to the rule. The first couple's going to be fine, and they're going to be showing people everywhere. This is what really happens. We have nothing to fear but the fear itself. And fear is what the Democrats, the progressives, and the Democrat progressive press is using to convince you otherwise. They're going to be fine. More after the break. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along. I mentioned yesterday that I had an eye appointment, and I did. And I went to see the eye doc. Been 8 years. And it was good to catch up. He's actually an old friend. He was an advertiser on the radio show years ago, and he and his partner, we called him the Marks. And both of them, the first name is Mark. And the exam went well. And basically, it's been quite a while since I had LASIK surgery. Why was that? That was a while back. I'll just say it was a while back. It was 18 years ago or so. And since then, the astigmatism has gotten worse. And it's just a product of age. You know, your body doesn't stay the same. I mean, just look at your high school pictures and look at yourself in the mirror now. Your body's constantly changing. So my eyes have been slowly changing over the years, and things are a bit blurrier than they used to be. And they can correct that with some eyeglasses. And I'm considering that now. But the thing is that I've got 20/30. I used to have like 20/15. And I really would like to be back at that if I can. But the big problem has been night vision issues. The problem has been reduced clarity in lower light. Like in a dimly lit place, sometimes I'll actually find myself pulling my phone out to use the flashlight to be able to read something. And at night when I'm driving, I've had the issues that come sometimes with LASIK since the LASIK surgery, but now they're getting worse. And the reason that low light is an issue for me is because I actually do have some cataracts developing. He called them baby cataracts. And he said, you can get the surgery if you want to do that, but I would try to talk you out of it. And I said, well, then I won't do it, because it's not that big of a deal right now. It's just at night and in lower light situations. And there are ways to get around the low light situations. The driving at night, I just don't do it unless I absolutely have to. So it's not that big a deal. And the eyeglasses, I'll see what I can do about that, if I will do anything about that. But let's just put it this way. I can walk into an office supply store and go find some off-the-shelf reading glasses, and I do this from time to time. I'll get three pair for $10. These cheap plastic reading glasses that work really, really well for me. And for up close, I'm good. So no biggie. I can compensate without having to spend a ton of money, and that makes me happy. And it also, knowing the answer to the question, makes me happy. As I told him yesterday, I came in mainly to learn why I was having these issues, that this was getting worse. And now I know why, and I know what my options are. And I may get glasses, I may not. I don't really need them. I'm still the guy, if I'm playing golf, I can spot your ball. You know, so yeah, it's over there next to that yellow leaf. You can see that? Yeah, I still can. So it's not that bad. It's just not as good as it used to be. But everything looking forward, that's good stuff. We were talking about the president and the first lady and the Rona. And we should never, ever be surprised by how low the left will go when something happens to someone on the right. Generally speaking, those who are public figures who have some class and some dignity will express their sympathy and their hopes for recovery. And we are seeing that. Largely, it's been really quiet from the Democrats. But a few people have said, wow, that's terrible news. We're praying for the first couple. So to speak. That's what you're seeing from some people. Others, they're just not saying anything. But people who aren't the big public figures that you see in front of the TV cameras and standing at podiums speaking to the public, who are very important people, the people behind the scenes on social media, they're just being vicious. And we shouldn't be surprised. Ex-staffers, coming from DailyWire.com, there's a story from the news group there. It's not one staffer. It's a bunch of them who've contributed. The ex-staffer, they say ex-staffers for former President Barack Obama and for the failed presidential campaigns of Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren, appeared to mock and attack President Donald Trump Thursday night following the news that he had contracted COVID-19. White House physician Dr. Sean Conley said in a statement this evening, "I received confirmation." I read you this earlier. They're going to be fine. They're going to be staying at the White House, and he's going to maintain a vigilant watch, yada, yada. Now, Zahra Rahim is a former Obama administration official who also worked on Clinton's presidential campaign, appeared to reference the president's diagnosis on Twitter, writing, "It's been against my moral identity to tweet this for the past 4 years, but I hope he dies," and emphasized the word dies with some graphics. Rahim also retweeted someone who wrote no in response to the following tweet from MSNBC's Rachel Maddow: "God bless the president and the first lady. If you pray, please pray for their speedy and complete recovery and for everyone infected everywhere. This virus is horrific and merciless. No one would wish its wrath on anyone. We must get its spread under control. Enough." And he adds, "Two thoughts. I'm totally blown away by the almost instant conspiracy theories coming from the left. I don't get the upside of faking a positive result 33 days before the election. If he's interested in a second term, announcing quarantine to a base who think COVID is fake, why? Let me be clear. I put absolutely nothing out of the realm of possibility with this effort, but as strategist, maybe I am blinded to the effery." That's an interesting observation. Very telling that he would say that the base thinks COVID is fake. No, Rahim, we don't think COVID is fake. We don't. We think the media hype and the Democrat overhype of COVID is fake. That's what we think is fake. We recognize the fact that it is a very real issue. We just think it's been blown way out of proportion. And we think that, and we think rightfully, that people like you on the left are using this to manipulate people, to keep them in fear, because people in fear are easily manipulated and will ask you to help them. And they would be willing to give you more authority, more power, more control, and they would be willing to surrender some of their liberty for some more security, which is being promised by people like you. So no, we don't believe it's fake. We never have believed COVID is fake. What we believe is fake is everything the left says about it. Moving forward, former Obama official Andy Slavitt, just before Trump announced he had the virus, said he must be quarantining because he doesn't want to pass the hoax on to anyone else. No, once again, Mr. Slavitt, the hoax was the Democrat response to Trump's actions on COVID-19, on the coronavirus, early, when he began to take action and shut down travel from China, where the infection began. The left accused him of being xenophobic, of being racist. The left accused him of a hoax. And that is what he said was fake, not the virus. Former Warren campaign staff Max Berger wrote, "Praying our president doesn't die of the preventable illness that he inflicted upon millions of Americans." He inflicted? The man who was warning people and shutting down travel and mobilizing things to help where the virus was beginning to hit in New York and California, while people on the left, as in Nancy Pelosi, were in the streets saying, "Hey, come on to Chinatown, nothing to fear here, come on and enjoy the party," and were accusing the president of being a racist and a xenophobe? Those people were the ones who've inflicted this illness upon Americans, not the president. He continued, I can't think of anything more distasteful than wishing death upon another human, except maybe causing preventable mass death because you don't want to damage the stock market or your reelection chances. All jokes aside, I hope the president injects himself with bleach. He goes on to say, Trump did this to himself. He inflicted this same misfortune upon millions of others. He's a corrupt white supremacist criminal who's responsible for more American deaths than 9/11 and the wars in Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, and World War I combined. No one should feel bad for him. Clearly, Max Berger is deeply delusional. And Max Berger has a mental disorder. And Max Berger should be in intense counseling, in therapy, and possibly taking some sort of medication to help him deal with his issues. He keeps going, saying, I hope everyone will respond to the news that Trump has the virus with the same amount of tact and compassion he would show to you. I hope the virus treats Trump as well as he's treated everyone his whole life. I hope Trump gets the kind of medical treatment he's trying to deny to millions of Americans. I hope we express exactly as much public sympathetic for Trump's rights, of Trump's plight, as he has for the 200,000 families who've lost someone to this pandemic. Whose pain matters is a political question. Who we should sympathize with is a political question. Trump has destroyed millions of lives. He deserves none of our sympathy. Clearly, this man is deeply, deeply disturbed. He has chosen to believe lies. He has chosen to believe horrific lies. And he has chosen to propagate those lies, to keep spreading them, to assign blame where it doesn't belong. And his hate is slowly devouring his soul. He is in deep, deep need of help. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Oh, man. Skimming through social media may not be a good idea today. I mean, seriously. I really wouldn't read comments below certain things. And I told you about that earlier because, as you've just heard, some people are delusional. They're deeply disturbed. Their true nature is coming out. And they need help. They really, really seriously need some sort of mental health help. And they are the proof, the evidence, that we've dropped the ball on mental health in America. We really have. Moving along. So this begs the question, now that the president and the first lady have the Rona, and they're going to be fine. I mean, like I said, 95% of people over 70 do just fine. They survive. Not a big deal. It's not a fun thing to go through, but hey, the consequences have been severely overblown, and the fear-mongering by the left has been unconscionable. It's just been horrible. And so people are deeply, deeply frightened of something that doesn't really, that they're more frightened than they should be. I'll just say it that way. It doesn't warrant the level of fear that we're seeing that's being portrayed by the left. And it's being portrayed that way for a political reason, for control, for power. They want to keep people afraid, and they want to be able to blame the president for the problem. And so what happens now that the president has the coronavirus, that he's tested positive for COVID-19, and he is going to be quarantining in the White House. What does this do as far as the campaign is concerned? The rallies? Of course, they'll have to cancel the rallies. That's understandable, and that's everybody's going to go, what you going to do? That's the way it's going to happen. We're still behind you. We still support you. And they'll still vote for him. Now, then there's the debates. There's still two more debates to go, right? Well, that's an easy issue. It becomes an answer through technology. that that each of the people in the debate sits in front of the camera in a controlled environment somewhere, and they take each other on that way. But you and I both know that if and when that happens, that Joe Biden and his team will take advantage of it, and he'll be wired like an astronaut. I mean, he'll have so much stuff on him. He'll have things presented to him coming into his ears. He'll have all kinds of answers to questions. He'll be getting coached. And he probably was the other night anyway, because they'll just go read, go look. But if you can't separate suspicious people from their sources, then they're going to be getting information from those sources. And Joe Biden and his cohorts are suspicious people. That's all I'm saying. But the bottom line is the debates could still go forward. That could be done without an issue, not a problem. Even to the point where they could appear on the same stage, separated by, 20 feet, and both of them wearing masks. It could still happen. It could happen. So I think the debates could go forward. That shouldn't be an issue. Now, the second presidential debate, they've already been making plans. They've already been doing things. They talked about changing some of the rules, giving the moderator buttons to turn microphones off and things like that. And honestly, that's something I've wished for in the past. I don't know about you, but if you sit back and you watch a debate and you and one of them just keeps talking over the other one, then every now and then you look at the television and say, would somebody please turn his mic off? Because, and it doesn't matter which side, the interruptions, if they're uncalled for, you just want some civility. And that's why I said the other night was hard to watch, because it was just people talking over each other and it was just like, it's just like two teenagers having an argument. Although, if you're aware of the facts, you know the truth, you realize one of them making their arguments is actually telling the truth, and the other one's actually bald-faced lying, Joe Biden. Now, this second presidential debate set up for the 15th. That is 13 days from today. And that's right at the end of the quarantine period. So it's conceivable that the president could show up live. It's going to be moderated by a guy named Steve Scully. He's the political editor at C-SPAN, host of Washington Journal. He also once worked for Senator Joe Biden when he was in college. He was an intern. He later worked as a staff assistant in the communication office of Senator Ted Kennedy. So he is an extreme left Democrat. Utah Valley University notes that while attending college, he served as an intern in the office of Delaware Senator Joseph R. Biden, and later a staff assistant in Senator Edward M. Kennedy's media affairs office. In an interview with Journalism Jobs in May of 2011, when he was asked, has the quality of broadcast journalism decreased over the past 5 years? Scully took the opportunity to rip Fox News. He said, I think what's gone downhill is when cable networks get caught in all the titillating news of the day, when they should be focusing more on things that are important to people, like following the money and the state of the nation. Having said that, if you're sick and tired of watching Lacey Peterson on the Fox News Channel, you can come to C-SPAN and understand the process that we do in following it. Later in that same interview, he praised Tim Russert, then host of NBC's Meet the Press. He said, I think Tim Russert, who is paid a lot of money to do what he does, earns his money because he works hard and he understands the process. He's probably one of the best interviewers out there. And then he turned to Fox News again, claiming, we are seeing more opinionated journalism on Fox, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, the whole incident with Dan Rather. He was asked, what will be the long-term impact on the credibility of journalists if the public's perceived bias in reporting goes unchecked? His answer? journalism in general will face more credibility blows. The most important thing you have is your reputation. How people view you and the organization you work at, they're going to see things through the prism of that. It would be a shame if we go down the path where everyone looks at the Washington Post and the New York Times and dismisses them as being supportive or critical of Republicans. He added a criticism of CBS News by asserting, the best thing any news organization can do is try to maintain a level of credibility, make sure that the facts they put in the newspaper or on the air are accurate and verified. That's one of the lessons CBS has realized. You could see the mistakes they were making every step of the way. They're going to pay a price for that. He mentioned former NBC News anchor John Chancellor saying, if you have a comment by a news anchor that is truly his opinion, and I personally don't like that, you need to make sure it is clearly marked and identified. Having a John Chancellor commentary at the end of the newscast, which was still popular in the 70s, blurs the line. Scully's in charge of the network's White House coverage. He's even served on the executive board of the White House Correspondents Association, where he was the president of the association from 2006 until 2007. So this is a guy who has it's an old connection, but a real connection to the former VP. And he has also served in another Democrat administration. And he is a liberal. Should he be the moderator? Is he capable of moderating? Or will he do essentially what Chris Wallace did? Or worse? We've watched this happen time after time with presidential debates, where the moderator becomes an advocate for one candidate over the other. And if you remember the Candy Crowley debate between Obama and Romney, Candy Crowley corrected Romney and stood by the correction and stood for what Barack Obama was saying. Even though what Romney was saying about that particular situation was absolute truth, and what Obama was saying was not. So here we are facing the second possible, it's possible they'll have that debate. We're looking at the second debate, and the guy who's going to be the moderator is deeply biased. Should we be concerned? Well, I am of the opinion that the debates for people who have already, I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, the debate's not making your mind up. It's not going to change your mind at all. It's really not. You've watched for the past 4 years. You've seen what the man has done. You've seen what he's been through. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that when you step into your polling booth, that you're going to vote for Donald Trump. You're going to put him back in office again, if at all possible. If you're a Joe Biden supporter, if you hate the president, if you refuse to look at the facts and you just believe what you're being told about him, you're not going to vote for him anyway. You're going to vote for Joe Biden. The debates aren't making your mind up at all. So the debates really aren't a deciding factor for the core. I read something last night from someone who claimed to be conservative and they were deeply bothered and upset by the debate. They were offended by all of the crosstalking and all of the interruptions and everything that went on, and it really bothered them a lot. And my response to that is, grow up. Get a grip. Stop using your emotions to make your decisions. If you were personally offended, that's your fault, because you allowed yourself to be offended. And people who do that, I think, enjoy being offended because it gives them some sort of a fulfillment. I don't understand it because I don't think that way, but they do. And I can't think that way and don't understand why they would do it. Why would you let your emotions guide your decisions? Because really, all that's doing is making your situation worse than it was before, which coincidentally is exactly how the Democrats always operate. I don't know if you remember. I was talking about interruptions and the like, but there was a time when Joe Biden debated Paul Ryan back in 2012. It was a week after Mitt Romney destroyed Barack Obama in that first presidential debate, the one before the Candy Crowley debate. The Democrats weren't interested in being nice. They wanted a fighter on that debate stage. Joe Biden delivered. He was rude. He was constantly interrupting Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan was barely able to get a word in edgewise during the time he had to speak. The media did not condemn Joe Biden's behavior then. And they aren't condemning his behavior in the debate the other night. And as I said yesterday, he interrupted first. And he continued to interrupt. And Chris Wallace only interrupted him 15 or 16 times, but he interrupted the president over 70 times. And Joe Biden has a track record of being a bully. And you saw that on display the other night. That's going to continue. And I actually have audio from that 2012 debate. And after the break, I'm going to play it for you, so you can hear what Joe Biden is really like. Welcome back. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Jumping off into the final segment for the day. Told you I had some audio from that earlier 2012 debate. And I want to play that for you. One of the things that happened during that debate was that they had split screen shots. So half of the screen was Paul Ryan, half was Joe Biden. And throughout that evening, Biden made maximum use of that split screen. And in that previous debate with Obama, the split screen showed him frequently looking down at the podium, not looking up, not engaging. But whenever Ryan spoke, Biden used his half of the screen, knowing he was on camera. It was almost like he was winking at the audience at home. He stage laughed at the assertions being made by Mr. Ryan. He shook his head, grinned broadly. And we saw that happen Tuesday night in the most recent debate. And I was online at the time. I was posting to social media, and I said, "Hey, watch. Biden has a tell. Every time Trump scores a blow, every time he lands a blow and hits home, Biden grins big, shakes his head, and laughs derisively." And that's exactly what he does. He has this condescending tone to him, an attitude where he just kind of, "That's just so stupid." He's a big old grin, like, "This guy doesn't know what he's talking about at all. Isn't it funny to listen to this idiot talk?" He's just got that sort of an attitude about him. But he does that as a defense mechanism. And people buy it. And that's the sad thing. But when you know that, you know that's a tactic, then you know that whenever he does that, somebody has just scored a point against him. And he's trying to minimize the score. Okay, so let's go to this audio. This is from 2012. This is that debate. And I'll play it through here. I may stop it and restart it and comment along the way. But this is from that debate.
Here's the problem. They got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, turning Medicare into a piggy bank for Obamacare. Their own actuary from the administration came to Congress and said, 1 out of 6 Hospitals and nursing homes are going to go out of business as a result of this.
That's not what they say.
7.4 million seniors are projected to lose the current Medicare Advantage coverage they have. That's a $3,200 benefit cut.
That didn't
what we're
happen.
Saying,
more people signed up.
These are
up.
From your own
more,
actuaries.
More people signed up for Medicare Advantage after
what,
the change.
What they're
no,
saying,
nobody is.
Mr. Vice President,
down.
I know.
No, this
Mr. Vice President,
this is
I
little...
know you're under a lot of duress to make up for lost ground. But I think people will be better served if we don't keep interrupting each other.
Well, now, don't just, take all the 4 minutes then.
We're saying don't change benefits for people 55 and above. They already organize their retirement around these promises. Already,
so let me ask you this.
What, those of us.
So you can hear when Biden begins interrupting, when he starts laughing, he's got that big grin. You know, that big grin, like this guy's an idiot. Yeah, listen to that. This is just ridiculous. He's laughing. And he interrupts because he can't let a statement stand. And we watched Tuesday night the same scenario play out. That whenever Trump would be telling something that was true, Biden would interrupt him. And if Trump did the same thing, Biden would object. At one point telling him, oh man, why don't you just shut up? Much like you heard in that particular thing where he talked about, well, not taking the whole 4 minutes. He wasn't taking 4 minutes. This particular clip is 54.7 seconds long. 54.7, just over 54 and a half seconds. Less than 55 seconds. And Joe Biden interrupted and interrupted and argued and interrupted. This is the nature of the political beast. This is the guy. And we need to remember, this is the guy that the Democrats have put up to be your president, who, when he's caught in a lie, laughs it off. And he does so because he believes you will believe he's telling the truth. He is a classic leftist manipulator. Never, ever forget that. Never forget that. Now, will we have more debates? That remains to be seen. We'll see. But just remember that Joe Biden, if those debates happen, Joe Biden is going to be doing exactly the same thing. He'll be interrupting. He'll be laughing. He'll be demeaning. He'll call names. He'll tell somebody to shut up. And he does all of those things because he is suffering from an intense case of leftist privilege, progressive privilege. They talk about white privilege. Joe Biden's got progressive privilege. He believes he is a member of the elite. He believes that he is a cut above everybody else. Remember how he has dealt with people, the general public, in public. Going way back to making claims about graduating at the top of his law class when he actually graduated at the bottom of his law class. Remember talking about how he was talking about how much smarter than he was than the guy who was trying to call him on something. And this was not in a debate. It was just in a public appearance. He's face to face with the guy. And he's telling him how much smarter he is than the other guy. He did the same thing on stage the other night. And President Trump called him out. Don't talk to me about how smart you are. You graduated at the bottom of your class if you got it out at all. And there are a lot of people who were not happy that the president said that. But you know what? It was something that has to be said. Because Joe Biden is a lifelong, compulsive, habitual liar. He lies, as my friend Dave Mack would say, when the truth would do. Because he has to embellish and polish and make everything bigger and more grand than it actually needs to be. That's the kind of person Joe Biden is. He inflates everything to match his ego. Please, please never forget that this is the man who for years has lied about the way his first wife died. He blamed a drunk driver. He lied. His wife pulled out in front of an oncoming truck, and the truck hit her, and she and her and his daughter were killed. It's a tragic thing that happened. It's a horrible thing that happened. It never should have happened. But also, what never should have happened was Joe Biden lying for years and telling people that the driver of that truck was drunk and blaming the truck driver for his wife's death. And in doing so, he made himself a sympathetic victim. He earned or stole sympathy from people. Oh, the poor man, his wife was killed by a drunk driver. He lied for years so that he could play the victim card. Lied. Impugned the integrity of a truck driver who actually worked to try to get these people out of the wreck. He tried to help them. He lied and told people that the driver of the truck was drunk. And that's not the only thing he's lied about throughout his entire life. He's always lied when the truth would do. He's lied about his education. He's lied about the way his wife died. He's lied about many, many things. He continues to lie up to this day. We don't need someone like Joe Biden sitting in the White House in the Oval Office. We don't. We need someone who may be a bit rough around the edges, who may be brash, who may be rude, who may not be polished, and may not look presidential, whatever that means, but actually gets the job done and puts us on the right course. And that's Donald Trump. I've told you before that I told my wife early on, I thought Trump was a street fighter. He's got the experience. He's dealt with politicians from both sides of the aisle. He's contributed to both sides of the aisle, depending on what his needs are at the time. He's had to deal with everybody. He knows what they're like. He knows what they're capable of doing. And he knows what they're not doing. And he knows what they're lying about. He's also dealt with people in the construction industry. He's dealt with people, I dare say, in the mob who are controlling certain aspects of where he's trying to build things. He's dealt with all manner of people, and he knows how to get things done. And as we've seen over the past 4 years, he's been getting things done. What would happen if we put Joe Biden in office is that he would stand in front of the cameras on a regular basis with that big smile of his and lie through those teeth about what he's getting done when nothing is getting done except the dismantling of all of the success that's happened over the previous 4 years. And that's exactly what Joe Biden and those who are actually behind him calling the shots would do. Just don't forget that. Joe Biden is a compulsive, long-term liar. He will lie about anything and everything. He will manipulate the facts to suit his agenda. Because everyone around him is doing that and coaching him in the best way to do so. So what you and I need to do is to pay attention so we know when Joe Biden is lying. Okay, that's pretty easy. His lips are moving, but you know what I mean. Well, that's enough for today and enough for the week. The weekend is here. Get away, unplug, cleanse your brain. Let's get back together Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. It's a podcast. That's the word. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
We'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?